This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and development. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
Doing great, Coy.
So what's going on? What did you do this past weekend?
Did you go out of town? I did. I went up to New Jersey.
New Jersey?
And it was a lacrosse tournament.
There's very pretty parts of New Jersey.
Well, that's the funny thing. We went to this tournament last year as well. So last year was our first visit to what's called New Egypt, New Jersey.
I don't know nothing about no New Egypt.
And my daughter...
Where is that?
I'm going to embarrass my daughter, Abby, but she said, Dad, I had no idea New Jersey looked like this.
Yeah.
We were playing lacrosse in the middle of cornfields. Out in rural New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, absent the mountains, you might have thought you were in rural Albemarle County.
It's beautiful, yeah. And they have beautiful beaches, too, like Long Beach Island, New Jersey. You ever been there?
I saw signs for the beaches.
North of Atlantic City.
And I ran into all the traffic going to the beaches.
Oh, yeah, did you really?
In fact, on the way up, it took us, you know, in Google Maps, I think it said, you know, 5.5 hours to get to New Egypt, New Jersey.
Yeah.
It took us about 9.
Brian, you're kidding.
We had 2 major traffic.
Holy cow.
So whenever people
almost
talk
twice
about
as long.
Our traffic problems around here, I think, you know.
That's crazy.
These trips are a constant reminder to me that.
Is this beach traffic?
It was Friday evening.
Where'd you hit the traffic?
On 495 around D.C.
Yeah. Friday. Yeah.
I tried to go through as early as possible.
You got
to
expect that. You're from Virginia.
But we hit it between 2 and 3 in the afternoon. I thought I might get away with it.
It starts a little earlier on Fridays.
Yeah.
Especially in the summer.
We didn't make it.
Oh.
So we got stuck there, and then we got stuck on 95 somewhere in Delaware, and Abby and I decided it was time to pull over and look for pie. So we found a great diner that had pie.
In Delaware.
We have a knack for finding these places.
Of course you do, yeah.
And the funny thing about it was I looked, you know, I went up and inspected the
pie
case. You
have Pidar.
I do have Pidar. We inspected the pie case, and there was this sign on the back of the pie case that only the staff were supposed to see.
Yeah.
But I was, of course, being pretty nosy. And it said, you know, do not cut anything in this case such that, you know, the middle is taken out, or, you know, don't recut anything that's already been cut.
Right.
Or else you will be fired immediately.
Really?
Yes.
So they must have a problem with that. Somebody cutting little half pieces and things like that.
I guess so. Taking little...
What'd you get in Delaware?
We had, Abby had some chocolate concoction, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
A chocolate cream pie kind of thing. And I had the lemon meringue.
Oh, love the meringue. Those are good.
It was good. And the meringue itself was like 2 stories high on top of this thing.
That's like the frosting?
Yeah. It was twice the height of the lemon part.
What is meringue?
You know, egg whites.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Whipped up egg whites?
Yeah.
With like sugar in it?
Yeah.
Mmm, good. Good. Love it.
So we were able to work pie into the lacrosse weekend. And it was good.
Did she win?
Good weather.
Did they win?
Her team, you know, they did okay.
Yeah. It's a club lacrosse, right?
Club lacrosse.
Yeah. They did all right.
They could have done better.
That's a long way to drive for not winning.
Yeah.
Gosh, 9 hours in the car. What are you, doing books on tape or?
We mostly listen to my iPod as we go.
You plug in your iPod into your car.
Yeah.
And you've got tons of songs on there. Hey, yeah. Mike. Good deal.
Mike Curtis talking about pie.
Yeah.
No pie in the studio
today,
Mike.
Whenever we talk about Michael Bisseglia shows up whenever there's a pie discussion. He'll just walk by slowly. You got anything going on in there?
Scans the studio.
So what are we talking about today?
Well,
this beautiful map.
Well, we have a beautiful map, and this is a little preview I'm giving you, Coy.
Uh-huh.
Nobody else can see this illustration right now, unfortunately. But within the next week, by the time I come on this show next week, we will have released a major publication about the local water supply plan.
And
we're calling it Our Water, Our Future.
Off mic, you've been telling me about this for a while, that you and your team at Charlottesville Tomorrow have been working very hard on like some huge report, so that if you wanted to know what the heck's going on regarding the water supply debate, the water wars, as we call them,
right,
that this is what you would read.
But we're boiling it all down. I mean, we are literally swimming in, you know, 4 years of information about the water supply plan. You can go to our website and read stories, hear a podcast. We've been covering it all along, but what I think has been missing and what our board of directors asked for was something where we could boil it down, make it simpler, and make it easily accessible to, you know, the average person on the street who wants to come up to speed and maybe has heard us talk about this but wants to know, okay, well, where are we right now?
Yeah, because so it's confusing.
It is confusing.
And it's
a complex system. It's a lot of money. This illustration, the purpose behind this illustration is to give people a sort of, you know, from the sky view of our local community and the different components of the water supply and how it all fits together.
I love this map. This is a cool map. It shows me, I'm looking west, I can see the mountains in the distance. It shows me where the big roads are, where the big, the Meacham's River meets the Mormons and the South Fork and the Ravana. But what it really shows you is where all the big reservoirs are now and how they're tied together.
That's right. And that is what makes up our current urban water supply system. We rely on our own local watershed. One of the reasons Albemarle County downzoned the rural area back in 1980 was to better protect the watershed and prevent more sediment from getting into the South Fork Reservoir. And you can see, you know, in some degree, looking at this picture, how these rivers and streams all lead primarily to the South Fork Ravana Reservoir. And that's why it is the reservoir that's challenged with sediment filling it up and diminishing its storage capacity for water. The Ragged Mountain Reservoir, on the other hand, is sort of isolated in its own little bowl. But the downside of that is it doesn't have any way to get water, enough water, at least to keep it full.
Right.
So it has to get a pipeline to fill it with water. And right now that water comes from Sugar Hollow, right up against Shenandoah National Park. So a lot of people don't know that, or they hear us talk about it. I'm a visual learner, so I think this helps me.
Totally.
And we're going to put a button on this that will allow people to toggle between the proposed plan and the current system. You can go back and forth and sort of see what changes. Not only that, in a few weeks, we will add other features to this illustration such that you can hover over different components, click a button, and see a little description and a picture of that part of the system.
Totally cool, Brian.
So we hope
this is very, very cool. Now, when is it all done and folks can go on the website?
We're going to release it sequentially. There are going to be 6 issues of this publication. Each issue is going to be 2 to 4 pages. So it's not going to be overwhelmingly long. Going to be easy to read, and it's going to have lots of charts, illustrations. It's even going to have movies. It will have other things you can interact with, like audio and podcast and click. So this will be an online publication unlike most which you have seen.
Yeah.
Now, if I had all the money in the world, I would print this in a very, you know, attractive format and mail it to every single household. What I learned is that's very expensive.
Yes.
You know, we mail our voter guide.
Printing is outrageously expensive,
and
isn't it?
And the postage costs keep going up.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
So to drop this publication at every household would be expensive. So until a donor shows up and can help us do that, we're going to do it online, which is a more affordable publishing platform. It does mean, however, not everyone's going to have readily available access to it.
Yeah.
So unless you're used to going on the internet and looking for these things, I understand that's an obstacle. My hope is if you do have a computer on the internet, you will go look for this. The easiest way to get alerted to it being published is to subscribe to Charlottesville Tomorrow's free email alerts.
That's what I get.
And you can go to Seaville Tomorrow.
I get your emails automatically.
SeavilleTomorrow.org, click subscribe, and you'll get added. And we'll let you know as soon as the first issue is up.
And folks should know that you don't get like a billion emails. You don't get spam. You don't get a ton of stuff. You just get, when y'all post new stories, I get an email saying, hey, dear Coy, Charlottesville Tomorrow just wrote stories about this, this, and this. And there's links to the stories. It really is worth signing up for.
Typically, we only send one message a week. It's every Monday. And that gives you the stories from the past week that we worked on, and then a preview of the calendar for the week ahead. Now, I'll break with that tradition, and as soon as we publish this, I'll send out an alert to our subscribers so they know it's available.
Yeah.
But we're also going to make it such that people can comment on the content they see there. They'll also be able to follow links to more in-depth information. So if you see Sugar Hollow Reservoir and you really want to learn about that one particular thing, you can click on the link to Sugar Hollow, and you'll go to an article on Sevopedia. So we've talked about Sevopedia as being this online encyclopedia that the community is building. We have started some articles about water-related issues, and that's a place where the community can go add comments, they can update the content, they can make it better.
It all fits together, doesn't it?
It's all coming together. It's taken much longer than I thought it would, but we'll be releasing that shortly.
Good stuff. Good stuff. This is great. And can folks, will you be able to download like a big, beautiful version of this map?
You will be able to download the map.
Because this is sweet.
That's a good idea, Koi. I hadn't thought about
it. Yeah. Like, there's usually a map that's in a story, but it's nice to be able to click on the map and get a bigger version, like a bigger color version that pops up that you could print if you wanted to.
We will make sure that there's a print this map button for Koi Barefoot.
All right. I like it. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at seavilletomorrow.org. Let's take a quick break. We're back in 1 minute. 24 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. It's 81 degrees. I hope you're having a nice ride home and a nice evening ahead of you. I'm Koi Barefoot. This is Charlottesville Right Now. News Radio 1070 WINA. You remember this show?
Sanford and Sons?
No, Brian. No. Oh. Come on.
That's like a good Sanford and Sons kind of song.
You don't remember this show? It was so funny.
Sanford
and Son was funny,
no,
too.
No.
Welcome Back, Cotter was dumb, but
I don't know.
This is Soap.
Soap.
Remember?
Vaguely.
With the guy had the talking dummy and all the... It was a spoof of a soap opera, hence the name. Soap. Don't you remember Bert thought he could disappear and he would snap his fingers and he thought he disappeared?
Now I'm thinking I didn't watch this show very much.
Oh, it was so funny. The spinoff of Soap was a little show called Benson, because Benson started out as the butler.
Yes, I do remember
on Soap.
The butler, Benson.
Yeah, very good. Very funny. What else is going on?
Oh, now you got me all thinking about old TV shows. Well, the update City Council just got about the bus system in Charlottesville, I think, is interesting. On July 6th.
Aren't they going to remake that whole thing with county money?
Well, they're talking about that.
Speaking of money, can I go back really quickly to the water thing? You know what you need on your website for the water supply?
I'm writing notes here.
You know that little the debt clock, the national debt clock, how the money keeps going up?
Yeah.
You need one of those for the cost of the new water supply plan. And they just have the money keep...
And the challenge with that was, if we had valid information to input into that clock...
Good point.
We could display it.
Where is the valid information?
I mean, that's one of the things I said to my board, who really wanted like a scale that would tip back and forth with different options.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that would be really neat if we only knew how much everything... weight or cost or whatever.
It seems like every time they talk about this stuff, the numbers change.
That's one of
they go up and down.
It's one of the big unknowns. And I'll apologize in advance if you think you're going to get the actual numbers at the end of this publication. we don't have them yet. Yeah. But we'll give you a sense as to how we got to where we are.
Yeah. And that's been a good point of the critics of the 50-year water supply plan to come forward and say the numbers are screwy. They don't have firm numbers on any of this stuff. They can't tell you it's going to cost X because... it's probably going to cost a lot more.
Well, and like a lot of infrastructure things around here, there are a lot of unknowns.
Yeah.
There are unknowns about, depends on what year you build it, depends if you're buying the right-of-way, where that right-of-way is, whose property it's on.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a lot of unknowns.
So what's with the buses?
So anyway, yeah, the buses.
We're getting a new transit system, right? Isn't that what's going on?
The community has tried to... form a regional transit authority. That's not what they talked about last week, but okay. That is a work in progress and something they're still studying. As you'll remember, Koi, they got permission from the General Assembly to work more closely together. It's stunning that Charlottesville and Albemarle County have to go get permission to do that, but that's the way
stunning's
it works.
Stunning's a nice way to put it, Brian.
In Virginia. as a Dillon Rule state, as it's known, unless the General Assembly has said it's okay, it's not okay.
You got to get permission for everything.
So they got permission to work together, but then when they said, can we have permission to ask our voters if they want to raise their taxes on themselves?
To pay for a new regional transit system.
They said, no, you can't ask them that question.
Right.
So
it's called democracy.
So what's being studied at this point is what can we do in the absence of a major source of new revenue?
Right. You can have a regional transit authority, but you can't have a new tax to pay for it, and you can't even ask your voters if they want to have a new tax to pay for it.
But that's not what Bill Waterson was talking about on July 6th. And I'll just quickly say the good news is about Charlottesville Transit. You know, the conventional wisdom when I hear people and see people commenting on blogs is that the buses are empty. Running around town.
Yeah.
And that people don't use CTS. The data says otherwise. The data says CTS provided 2 million rides in the past fiscal year and that their ridership went up by 500,000 riders.
Over the last year?
Over the last year.
Wow.
Last 2 years, sorry.
Total, not average.
the total ridership over the past 2 years went up by 500,000.
Hmm.
In part because of two things. Actually, I would say three things. They added service to Charlottesville High School. They added a partnership with the University of Virginia such that UVA students could ride on the bus for them for free.
Yeah. If you're a student.
UVA is paying for it behind the scenes.
Right.
But the rider can just flash their ID and they're on. And also, I would say the GPS tracking system, because I know my riding experience has increased, you know, tenfold.
I remember the first time you were talking about that. That's pretty cool.
Because of the GPS technology. So if I want to go from, I work in downtown Charlottesville, Court Square. If I want to go to the corner, one of your favorite spots, and have lunch.
The favorite spot.
I just go on a website and I say, what time is the trolley, the free trolley, because I'm cheap.
Yeah.
What time is the free trolley going to be downtown? And then I just walk to the station, get on the trolley.
You can go online and it'll tell you exactly when it's going to be there.
Exactly when it's going to be there. And then while I'm eating lunch, I look at my phone and my phone has a little web page on it where I can watch when is the trolley going to be back on the corner to pick me up.
It's like your own private chauffeur. So I think I'm going to pick you up on this corner at this time. And
all of those things combined have led to increased ridership. And I think that's a good success story, something the city and county both want to build upon.
Good stuff. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. We're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for local news and weather and continue this conversation on the other side.
Ashlawn Opera invites you to attend their performance of Camelot this...
My pilgrim bride, from me on the mountain by the ring.
We got 20 minutes before 6 o'clock, 81 degrees in Central Virginia. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA. This is Charlottesville right now. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Motherhood, Mindful Motherhood. We'll talk about the new book, give away a free copy. Join me, won't you? We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. So bus ridership is up, but no money to extend it.
Correct.
But why do the buses still look empty?
I think it
depends they what, do. Or is this
route,
just...
It depends what route you're looking at.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's a good point.
If you're looking at buses near the university, which I don't do because that's not where I am,
yeah.
I would think they look fuller than those that you might see, you know, out in the hinterlands.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of the things they are doing is expanding routes. They want a better route to the hospital, and they want route 4A, 4B, I think is the route, to be sort of homed out of the university instead of the downtown transit station. And so they're going to make that a more central feature of that route to improve access to the hospital. So for people that work there or need to visit the hospital, that should help them. And that was feedback they got in a recent survey.
So explain that again. They're going to do what with the hospital? They're going to make a new, like, a park and ride place?
They're going to change the route. This will take effect August 22nd.
Okay.
City Council signed off on this. And the goal is to give Route 4 riders more direct access to the University of Virginia Hospital. It's also going to restore service to Johnson Village neighborhood, which apparently lost service at some point in the past.
Off of Cherry Avenue.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a beautiful old neighborhood.
So they're trying to make improvements. They're doing this based on ridership surveys that they've done about how they can make it better.
Good deal. All right.
So that's some mass transit, public transit.
Yes.
And that's going to be a feature of future discussions about the 29 North Corridor, too. Because one of the things the county does not have is bus service that goes all the way out, for example, to Hollymead Town Center or the airport, the Target. You know, in the future, North Point,
yeah,
National Ground Intelligence Center. We don't have public transit that goes that far north. So
you think we might get to the point where it's like the metro, where there's like these park and rides way up 29, where people can come to some place on 29 and park and get on a bus that brings them down into the Charlottesville area?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Now,
how we pay for it? Oh, no. There's the question.
That's the challenge.
That's
and,
the next question. Because that would be so cool, wouldn't it? You know, people would love that.
And you have to design the bus system in a way that it's an attractive alternative to driving your car.
Yeah. Right?
So I said, the reason I now will go to lunch on the corner is because I don't have to drive my car down there and park, because I can rely on a CTS bus, because I know exactly where it is looking at my website.
And you can get a Gus Burger at the White Spot.
And I could do it efficiently and quickly. And it would be just as tasty.
So if it's efficient and easy and better than sitting in your car listening to your own radio.
Right.
then people would do it.
So one of the congestion challenges is 29 North.
Yeah.
So we know there's certain hot spots on 29 that do get backed up, particularly at drive time in the morning and the afternoon. And Albemarle County, the reason it went into this cooperative venture with Charlottesville was to rapidly expand, not rapidly, I'm trying to think of the word David Slutsky used, but David Slutsky and Dave Norris both said they wanted to redesign the bus system to capture much more ridership in the county and include places like Pantops and then all the way up 29 North.
To expand it.
To get people
out
to
into
where
the hinterlands.
They're working.
Right.
You know, from their homes to where they're working.
Right, right.
Now, how they get on that bus is a key challenge. And you mentioned park and ride lots. That could be part of this. But also the idea of what's called bus rapid transit. Bus rapid transit are attractive vehicles. You have tickets you pay for in advance. They come into stations and they get an efficient path through the corridor. So they may get dedicated lanes, for example. They may get an interim measure might be to let the buses be in charge of changing the traffic signals so that there's a lane. So there's a lane where the bus gets a preferred treatment and they can change the signal on demand. We see that today with emergency rescue vehicles.
Yeah.
Able to change the lights. Buses could do that as well.
That would be so cool.
They do that in other cities.
They do?
Sure.
So you would have this bus that you would get on like way up 29 in the morning and you know you're going to have green lights all the way into town because the guy driving the bus has the button.
That's the idea. I've not been on one of those buses.
That's
so I haven't
cool.
seen it in practice. But
I mean, I knew the fire engines did it, but I didn't know. Yeah. I guess you could give that technology to a bus.
Again, the idea is to make sure that the headways, the time, the gap between when a bus comes to the station is both predictable and on a regular schedule. And the way you would do that on 29 would be to give more control or dedicated lanes to allow them to move efficiently between stops.
Yeah.
So that's a big project and one of the big goals of a regional transit authority. All of this is being talked about as part of Places 29. That's the master plan, Coy, for the 29 North Corridor. They've been talking about this for several years.
Yeah.
The
plan, and it's important to point out that Places 29 does include a lot more than just the debate about overpasses.
Right. Although that was a feature of the discussion last night and will be again tonight, because tonight there's a Planning Commission work session in Albemarle County. So if you want to weigh in on Places 29 and all things transit and road related, you can go to the county office building starting in 15 minutes, and they will be having a work session on this topic.
I bet there'll be some critics there of Places 29.
Well, it's interesting, sort of to, I think, preempt this meeting and sort of get the public primed to talk about it. A coalition of groups met last night in a public meeting to talk about Places 29. And love fest may be too strong a word, but I think these are all groups that favor smart. They would say these are smart transportation solutions. And the goal, I would say, of their meeting was to get people talking about the idea, if we get federal money to do some transportation around here, then let's have it go to smart projects. They think smart projects are those that best link land use and transportation decisions so that we're not investing in roads that we don't need or are in the wrong place or don't solve our congestion problems on the corridor of 29. They want parallel roads. They want a network. They want transit. They want bike. They want all those things. And they view that as
a
smart way to do it. Well, this is groups that include a Washington, D.C. based group called the Coalition for Smarter Growth. Also there last night, Piedmont Environmental Council, Southern Environmental Law Center, and representatives from the County of Albemarle. Dennis Rooker was there representing the Board of Supervisors. They had a little panel discussion talking about Places 29, where it's going, what's next. What I thought was the Daily Progress did a good story today. Sharon Fitzgerald did a story sort of recapping the meeting. And what we're going to add to it tomorrow in our story is an outline of what Wayne Sillenberg, who works on the county staff, Wayne Sillenberg was sort of in the mode of responding to those frequently asked questions that are raised about Places 29. Things like, you know, if you plan all these roads, is it going to create more traffic? Do we have the money to actually do any of this? Is 29 going to become a major expressway? And Wayne Sillenberg worked through all of those questions and said, no, and here's what we're doing about that. And I think that was the most helpful information that was presented last night. The rest of it was more a rehash of the planning principles behind place is 29.
Right, the whole smart growth idea.
Which a lot of us who have been in these meetings for years know inside and out. And in fact, we could probably give those presentations for them at this point. But it was good to move, you know, the conversation forward. You know, I sat there and I said, well, you haven't mentioned the business community and their concerns about grade separation on 29.
Yeah.
Grade separation meaning you build an overpass at Hydraulic and Rio. And I said, you know, the business community is opposed to that. I asked Mr. Rooker, can you get this plan approved over their objections? And
well, that's a good question.
Yeah. And is it going to be part of the election discussion that we have this year? And Mr. Rooker gave an interesting answer, which was, he said, if you look at the concerns outlined by the Chamber of Commerce and the North Charlottesville Business Council, the Chamber's letter in particular sent last month to the board outlined a number of areas of agreement about Places 29. They said things like, you know, we agree Hillsdale Drive and Berkmar Extended, these parallel roads can be a good thing. And Dennis Rooker pointed out, he said, you know, we don't have the money to do a lot of these big projects anyway, but we have enough little projects for the next 10 years that if we get any money, you know, we're in agreement, I think, with the business community that those things should be done.
Yeah.
So that was Mr. Rooker's response to sort of say, you know, we can fight the battle about the overpasses later.
Let's start with what we agree on and what we have money for.
That was his basic answer.
That sounds like a smart answer.
And the Daily Progress mentioned that in their article as well. We'll go in depth a little more on that in our story tomorrow.
There you go.
This is a News Radio 1070 WINA traffic update, driven by Price Kia on Pantops Mountain.
Rob Graham joins us live in studio with a traffic update. Rob, go right ahead.
Okay, Coy, 29 North, northbound, this time of day, on the right-hand side of 29 North as you approach East Rio, the turnoff to go into East Rio. That turnoff lane is blocked, and there's also a problem in the far right lane on 29 North. So that leaves some lanes on the left open, but on the right side of the road, 29 North, northbound, just before you get to East Rio.
Right before the mall. Right in front of the mall, right?
On the north side of the mall. It's right at the East Rio.
In front of the new Vitamin Shop.
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's an accident there. And then farther ahead, the second lane from the right, just before you get to Woodbrook, is blocked by a rear-end collision there involving three vehicles.
Oh, man.
So there are lanes open, but there are also some lanes closed. So there's good news and bad news, and mostly bad news in terms of anything, an accident on 29 North in that vicinity at this time of day will cause a backup for northbound traffic.
And there's two close together on either side of Rio, north and south, so it must be backing up pretty bad.
Yes, backing up bad.
Goodness gracious. And we don't have any parallel roads, Brian Wheeler, for folks to take as an option, unless you want to get out and, you know, go airport road.
I'll be leaving now. Resume your discussion.
I hope nobody's
hurt. Thank you, Rob
Graham.
Appreciate it.
I hope nobody's hurt in those accidents, and I hope they were listening to us and getting frustrated about 29 North traffic.
Thanks, Rob. It's very ironic that here we are talking about the future of 29, and Rob walks in with the story this time of day so often is an accident on 29, and so much of it just comes to a slow crawl or a standstill.
Yeah,
because there's just not that many other options that people have to get north out of Charlottesville.
Well, and Hillsdale Drive is one of those parallel roads that you know the community has plans on paper, just doesn't have the money to complete it, but we're going to get that road started with the new Whole Foods on Hydraulic at that end of Hillsdale Drive. We still have some right-of-way issues to resolve as you move north from Hydraulic as we hit the Regal Cinema, where they have said they're going to expand their theater in the path of Hillsdale Drive.
Right.
So you've got right-of-way issues, you've got money issues to pay for the road. Over on the other side of 29, Berkmar Drive. Berkmar starts, as you know, right at the Starbucks across from Fashion Square Mall. And you can't get to it from the northbound side. You have to do a U-turn at Virginia National Bank right there and then go back and get Berkmar.
Yeah, but once you can't take a left there.
Once you're on Berkmar.
Goes all the way to Sam's Club.
All the way to Sam's Club.
Over Rio and then,
The idea behind extending Berkmar Drive is to keep on going past the Sam's Club, build a bridge over the South Fork Ravanna River, continue up to Hollymead Town Center. And so that would extend that road up that far. Again, a lot. What the data shows, and this was talked about in the meeting last night, is that a lot of the congestion on 29 is us. It's the people that live here.
It's not through traffic, which is the big message that we need to get to the folks in Danville and Lynchburg. most of the traffic on 29 is us.
VDOT's data shows it's 12% of the traffic that's trying to get through Charlottesville and not stop here.
88% is people going to Target or Walmart.
But the Chamber of Commerce responds to that and says, you know what, if we can move 10 to 20% off of 29 by building a Western bypass, that would be a good thing to do. They would rather not disrupt business, and that's their concern at Hydraulic and Rio. And what we heard last night was a presentation, again, from the Smart Growth Coalition saying, if you invest in a complete street network, if you invest in what they call complete streets are those that don't just serve cars, but also serve bikes and pedestrians and organize themselves around neighborhood town centers, mixed-use areas, so that you can walk to some of these shops you need to get to, so that you can take your bike to pick up a gallon of milk.
Yeah.
And those complete streets would give opportunities for redevelopment along that parallel road path. So if you create a Berkmar Drive Extended, you're creating opportunities to redevelop in, you know, the back of that parking lot on Sam's Club.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot more people will be suddenly driving by it. So there might be enough critical mass there to create a mixed-use development in that area, or over at Albemarle Square Shopping Center on the other side. So Circuit City, redeveloping.
They need some stores over there.
Redeveloping part of that area.
Yeah, yeah.
So those are some of the ideas being talked about. What I thought was interesting, your previous guest was Chris Graham from the Augusta Free Press, and he was talking about how in Stanton they've had this major bypass built, and it wasn't something people thought they needed. It was built anyway, and now nobody's on it. And he said maybe someday in the future we'll need that. I don't know the details behind that road, but that's exactly the kind of project that the groups that were meeting last night don't want to see happen.
Yeah.
Some people will say, well, they don't want to see the Western Bypass. Well, that's true, I think, for most of those groups, because VDOT is behind this and Albemarle County is behind this. They think you can make a more complete solution by upgrading 29 throughout the corridor, building parallel roads, creating grade-separated interchanges at six different places along 29. And grade separation, it's interesting. Dennis Rooker made another analogy. He said, some people talk about grade separation like it's some spaceship dropped in on our community. And in fact, we're used to these things.
We have it all over the place.
We have them on Park Street. We have them at Dairy Road. So on the 250 bypass, we're used to small grade separated overpasses.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Although they would be a little bit bigger at Hydraulic and Rio.
They would be bigger. They'd be more expensive. They would certainly cause some disruption.
Yeah.
But that's the conversation that's happening right now.
Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, he joins us every Tuesday afternoon to keep us updated and informed about growth and development issues here throughout Central Virginia. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.